Welcome back to the Sega Guys podcast, your fortnightly checkpoint into the world of Sega. But I am but one of the team. The other half, the navigator to my driver, the delta to my Celica, is James the Segaholic. How you doing, mate?
Very long, easy right. Maybe.
I'm good, mate. I'm good. How's yourself?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm currently, as I was saying just before we started recording, I'm obsessed with Dragon Force at the moment. It's been a long time since I played it with this sort of enthusiasm. Because usually I dip in and dip out. Now I can't play any. I literally can't play anything else. It's like Liza P, no, boring. Persona 3, no, don't fancy that. I just want to conquer all of Legendria and take over the show in Aria. But what are you doing?
Rally Championship.
Taking over the world. Like, why? It's for everyone's own good.
Because I can.
Yeah, it's getting quite annoyed with it just now. I had to abandon two castles because I didn't have enough recruits, and some enemies was descending upon me. So
the life of a conquering, you know, was it king to be, you know, it's just honestly things happen. But you've been digging into Dragon Force. I've been throwing myself into the topic of today's video.
You have, mate. So I said I was the navigator, but I mean, I said you were the navigator, rather. But I only said I'm the driver by name, but you really are the man behind the wheel of currently, as things stand, the top times in the Shiro Challenge on today's topic.
Yeah, so I'm top on the arcade time, but by 0.05 of a second on a 3.1670. There's someone behind me on a 3.1675, but that person has across the board, I believe, on Time Attack is taking top spot on all of those as well. So the most impressive run or times that were on that table, it had to be Nick. Like, yeah. his Lakeside, he's got a 1.09 for all three laps. And a 1.09 on a rolling start, that's sensational. He's got a 1.09 from a standing start in the first lap. And I'm like, and I said in the community challenge Discord, and Dave came back and says, you know, well, if you get that rocket start, I'm like, yeah, if you get the rocket start, the first thing you get is a like grass embankment at 90 yeah. degrees.
Yeah, rocket start straight into second gear.
That's it. It is. Exactly. So it's mad. But it's been great fun as well, like seeing all the enthusiasm on the Shiro Discord, and it's become a sort of unofficial community challenge. It's not the actual community challenge, but
yeah,
in light of Nick's video, so many people started, you know, putting times up that I think it was Gregory's had to start just collating times and putting a table together. So
yeah,
crazy. But it's been great fun.
Yeah, I liked being, what was I? I think I was fifth behind, obviously, yourself, Saturn RPG fan, Dave and Nick. And I thought, you know what, if there's going to be four people ahead of me, it'll be those four. And now I've been bumped down to six. So I need to try and put Dragon Force down, but and get back to my times, because I was just getting used to manual in there as well. So I didn't think it was too bad for one day playing manual. But of course, yeah, we're talking about Sega Rally Championship. It's, you know, people, long-time listeners might be thinking, why is it taking you 4 years to get to a podcast on this?
Yeah, it's true. We've mentioned it often enough, but I just think, obviously, because of the attention that's on the game just now with Nick's documentary and obviously the kind of the Shiro Challenge and stuff like that, it felt like, you know, obviously the Editor's Corner on Shiro with ourselves and Nick has just came out today at the time of recording. So it felt like, you know, for us to have our own discussion for our listeners as well, to kind of try and kind of touch on that kind of buzz and that kind of vibe around the game just now. So that's the reason why. But over 4 years, mate. We started this in April 2020. So
it's crazy. And I think really, mate, it's a good one for us to do right now, because this is probably the last chance it would just be me and you doing this for a little while, because you have been blessed with a significant life event coming, which is going to be fantastic. Of course, that does mean that we'll have to go back to the archive of, well, not so much archive. We've got a bunch of stuff that we've recorded that is sitting on the shelf ready to go, which is a good thing. But yeah, it's the last time we'll get to chat together before your family extends, mate.
I know, quite emotional actually, because I sat down to record this. I was thinking this is the last time I'll sit down to record for, possibly the best part of 2 months. But yeah, at the time of recording this, my wife's due to give birth on Monday, to our second daughter. So obviously we've got a lot of stuff there. We've been busy. I've still got a video I want to finish off on. The kind of Saturn racing games that you may not have played, so that's just getting finished off. I've got a couple of Dreamcast videos in there. We've got a few pods in there, so we've got a lot of stuff in there to kind of do is over that period. But on the off chance that I'm not able to make it back quite as fast as 6 to 8 weeks, then we'll deal with that whenever if it comes up, mate. But it's quite a surreal feeling. I'm not leaving. It's not as if I'm stepping away or quitting or anything, but it's to be stepping away for quite a significant period of time. It's something that we've built up and that we love doing, and we've watched it grow, and we've put the energy and the effort and the passion into making the Sega guys a brand, so to speak. So I will be back, as Andy says. I'll be back. But
The interesting thing is that by the time we've got through all the previous podcasts that we've pre-recorded, I mean the feature videos, I think we've got about 4 months worth of those is backed up. And then by the time that we get through the backlog of podcasts that we've recorded, we'd probably be back, but well, the 2 months will be passed at least.
Well, I
So it
never
might be
know.
completely invisible. But no, it's nice just as you say, we've got at the time of recording this, we're scheduled to do another collab with our Shiro brethren on the weekend. So got a nice stockpile of episodes to get through. So it may be invisible to absolutely everyone, but it's nice just to lean into this topic, because that's one obviously I'm passionate about. You're a little bit more passionate about, shall we say? And yeah, it's one that we don't really need a lot of notes for, is it? We don't nearly need it, no.
Nah, it's just going to be a passionate rant about Sega Rally, mate. But I mean, you had mentioned obviously our Shiro brethren there, who at the time of recording this, we are hoping to try and squeeze a recording in, like with Pat at the weekend if possible. But aye, if we can get that done, that'll be absolutely fantastic.
And we'll be working a lot more closely with those guys. Obviously, I think that'll probably be old news by the time that this goes out.
That's
But
a sinking, yeah. I mean, should we mention that? Because this will probably go out, well, it will go out because the announcement has been made on Friday on the Shiro Show Live, is that we are now part of the Sega Saturn Shiro Media Group. So exciting stuff. Nothing will change in terms of what we do. We've still got like full like creative control. There's no one telling us what we can and can't make. No topics are set for us. We will continue exactly as we are, but we now kind of come under that banner of the Shiro Media Group. So their community is our community. It kind of already has been. We've got a kind of big crossover anyway. We collaborate a lot, as you guys know. So it's just kind of maybe putting like a more official stamp on it. It was Dave that floated the idea. And he was very keen to stress that it might not even have been needed. But I think for us, it gives us a bit more, I would say credibility, but I think it gives us a bit more, there's a bit more behind us now, as being within that kind of that brand. And for the Shiro guys, they now get under their wing like a dedicated UK perspective on Sega and the Saturn, which is something that I know Dave's been looking for a long time. He's even said in kind of conversations that he wishes he'd replied to my DM sooner when I asked him to collaborate in the early days. But It's water under the bridge, mate. It's exciting times ahead, and it also means that if in the event that I can't, like, obviously record, if the kind of hiatus that I go on due to the wee one extends any kind of longer, that we can now go in-house and we can now bring on the Shiro guys as well to do a Sega guys podcast. It's just completely seamless now. So
Yeah.
exciting stuff, mate.
Exciting stuff indeed. It's a lot happening in the here and now. Yeah, everyone stay tuned. Lots of exciting stuff. And yeah, mate, just congratulations on the newborn.
Thank you.
When she comes, obviously I'll speak to you every day before then and on
Oh, you will. Apart from
the
family, mate, you'll be the
day
first picture probably, so.
probably. But yeah, beautiful stuff, mate. But instead of talking, we'll move on from the next. Oh God, Shira on Friday, new baby on Monday. But rather than looking ahead, we'll look back. 30 years ago this year, Sega Rally launched in the arcades, and we won't go into a huge discussion around the history, or we're not going to retell the history because our Shiro brethren, pandemonium. If you haven't seen his exceptional 5-hour video, check it out now. I've seen it 3 times, finished my first watching it today. Yep, available on YouTube, and also you can watch it on your Sega Saturn.
You can.
Thanks to Shadow Mask was the one that worked on that, wasn't
12 discs worth.
it?
No, I mean, just like, I mean, I need to put it on my Fenrir SD card, mate. I mean, I need to watch it on the Saturn. It just seems
Yeah.
too fitting to not do it, you know? So amazing work.
Yeah, so anything that can play YouTube, or put 12 discs into your Sega Saturn or into your ODE and watch it. But yeah, I think from our perspective, mate, just where do you begin with the story of Sega Rally? I think Nick's video did a fantastic job of interweaving the tale of, you've got Mizuguchi, and then the story of Fujimoto as he was, it's almost like fate that he was trying to win Safari at the same time that Sega Rally was, developed and then released in arcades, and then the Saturn port was being covered. So it's wonderfully poetic, and there's been no winner of the Safari Rally by a Japanese racer ever since. It's crazy how that works.
It's brilliant seeing all the stories intertwined. As I said, whenever we spoke on Editor's Corner, it's like he's told that kind of three-pronged story. You've got the development aspect from Sega's perspective and Mizuguchi and the CS team. And then you obviously have got, Fujimoto's story and his quest to win Safari and, obviously seeing him in the Celica and stuff like that as well. And then you've got the consumer perspective where you're seeing the progress mapped out and these amazing Saturn Japanese like videos and like demo discs with interviews.
Yeah.
Like the Japanese Saturn fans were eating well when it came to coverage of the system and games, but it does seem like it was fate that a Japanese rally driver was trying to win Safari at the time that the Sega Rally team were doing their research on it. And the things that Fujimoto said as well, about the Saturn port, that he says it feels more like a simulation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and I think that's testament to something that we spoke about so many times is that handling. You know, that it just the arcade version, the Dreamcast version of Sega Rally 2 has that floaty arcade handling feel, which mirrors the arcade. And if you play Sega Rally on like the M2 emulator on your PC, it's got that kind of floatier, the cars don't feel as attached to the track
Yeah.
as they do on the Saturn game. And as Nick says, and whenever we were talking to him on Editor's Corner, like the Saturn game's almost better than the arcade in terms of sheer playability. Also in some visual aspects, like it's got like a lower polygon count and also the lower resolution, but it's got better texture work. It's got better colors, better depth of colors. So, and it's clearly it's got that superior handling that they've worked in there to add that kind of layer of hidden depth to the game. So, it's just I don't know. It's hard to try and compress 5 hours. Well, it's 4 hours and 40 minutes. It's the best part of 5 hours worth of a video, but it's compelling viewing, and I know people will look at the length of it and possibly go, oh no, it's too long, it might be intimidating. Just break it up. Like when I was like, Nick was asking me in DMs, like, have I watched it yet? And I was like, I don't want to binge it. Because I don't want it to end. It's like, so I split it up into like kind of 30 and 40 minute chunks. So even do that, treat it as like a series and just split it up and just watch a wee bit at a time. But it's phenomenal viewing, it really is.
Yeah, if I could change one thing about my first viewing of it, because I really wanted to get it viewed, because obviously we had the early access via, because for no other reason than we support the Shiro via, Patreon. And I wanted to get it read before kind of the weekend before Editor's Corner. So I did binge it, and for some things didn't stick, but that's kind of what's made the subsequent viewings so compelling. But I think if you're not planning to watch it more than once, take your time with it, because there's so much in there. It's so dense. There's so much content. It's so much content and detail and things that are just entertaining in there. It's fantastic. And I was watching it, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this bit.
And it's that intro as well. Mate, that intro gets the, like the term they use in Glasgow is it gets the plums pumping, you know what I mean? It really does. It's phenomenal. You get that. It looks all kind of nice and quiet and the locals are walking along this path and then the music kicks in, the beat hits, and then you just see this Celica bouncing over the bumps and into puddles and there's mud everywhere and people are scattering. Oh, it's just amazing.
It's incredible where the origins of it, because the drive was obviously Mizuguchi, and there's a lot more detail in Panda's video, obviously, but he comes into Sega. Amusing how he came in with this 46-page business plan about how he wants to change games for the future. Quoted what he thought was Sega's logo, like Sega's motto, and it was actually Namco's. But yeah, I was working on the rides, like the Michael Jackson ride in Joypolis. Created a VR headset with two Game Gear screens sewed
That was
together.
hilarious, wasn't it? The picture of him sitting there with us. It's off at the lawnmower, man, wasn't it? It's just this contraption. Amazing.
And then wanted to do something different in terms of a racing game. And as he Sega, that CSG managed to travel around a fair bit, and they decided on a rally game, and kind of created some dummy test footage with a car on a track. And yeah, they were it was greenlit, and they were away. But it was quite radical, really, when you think about what a rally game was at that time, because no one else was doing rally games, and there was no decent ones. There was the Gaelco, was it? I think it was Gaelco. It's a Spanish developer and publisher that developed the isometric rally game, which I don't know about you, mate. I saw those all the time. They used to always be whenever I went on a school trip abroad or something, I went on a ferry or went, there'd be one tucked away in a corner somewhere, and you'd see the little isometric, and that had the navigation points, but there was nothing like Sega Rally at all.
No, I mean there was a little rally game built into the 4-in-1 game cart on the Game Gear. So you'd columns, you'd tennis, you'd penalty shootout, and you had this, but to call it rally, it was like kind of hang on meets Outrun with rally cars. Like it changed the kind of color of the road and stuff like that, but it wasn't a real, there was no drifting, there was no gear shifting, there was nothing like that. It was very, very basic.
Tucked away on a 4-in-1 packing cartridge that features a cut down version of Columns, a penalty kick game, and a tennis was the other one.
Yep, with Sonic as an umpire.
That's it. So yeah, and to just to go in this direction, and it was a Model 2 game. And you've got Ridge Racer was a big thing, and then Daytona was out. So you're going up against some massive heavy hitters. And I suppose that maybe that was part of the reason why they decided they had to do something a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing that what the end result was, even at the beginning in the arcade, it instantly attracted so much acclaim, so much attention.
Yeah, I mean, look, Daytona obviously captured the US market, with the whole NASCAR theme. And I know whenever, obviously, we'll get to the Saturn version, that came out and didn't quite do as well as Sega of America had hoped. They called it a slacker title, you know, because they had a lot of hopes pinned on it, and you know, it clearly didn't do what they thought it was going to do. But in kind of the European and Japanese regions, like Rally would be more popular. So I just it made sense to go that route. Obviously, they had tried, you know, Sega as a company, they tried obviously the F1 angle with Virtua Racing. They then done NASCAR with Daytona. So to take the sport of rally, now Virtua Racing and Daytona translated more naturally to video game. There wasn't a lot of tweaks to the format. Obviously, you compress the size of the tracks, but you know, more or less, it's the same going round in a circuit. But in rally, you don't do that. You start at one part of the country and you work your way to the other, you know, basically working through stages, and whoever does it the fastest wins. So to try and take that experience and compress it into an arcade game and retain the feel of rally, but making it an enjoyable, short, condensed arcade experience, it's crazy that they managed to do it. They've captured the complete essence of rally in like 3.5 minutes. It's mad.
Yeah, it's insane. You know, they captured Safari Rally perfectly in you know, less than 55 seconds.
With Dave's giraffes.
And yeah, the mountain course was obviously it was is that's in the US, wasn't it? Is it that's Yosemite? I think that they were saying that that's based on.
Yeah, Forest is based on Yosemite. Yeah. And was it Mountain was based on an Italian? Is it
Yeah,
Corsica it was based on?
possibly. I
So.
think it was for some reason I was thinking Turin, but I think it probably makes more sense if it's Corsica. But yeah,
Yeah.
so you know, three very distinct locales. You wouldn't have three stages in a real rally that are so diverse. And it was just phenomenal. I do love, you know, obviously they wanted to feature real cars. And the way that they went about that was absolutely phenomenal. They went to Toyota and said, will you do this? And they said, well, we'll only do it if Fiat, who owned Lancia, also agreed to it. So they went to Fiat and said, yeah, Toyota have already agreed. And they didn't pay any royalties, which is
No royalties,
fantastic.
which explains now you've got the message that comes up on the attract mode.
Yeah.
Thank you to Toyota and Fiat Lancia for the inclusion of their vehicles in this game. But what an absolute blackartist that is, isn't it? It's just
Yeah.
talk about a double bluff, man. That's just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So it comes to the arcades, does phenomenally well, and I think it was almost straight away that people were asking about the Sega Saturn port, wasn't there? You know, there was the interviews in a few Japanese magazines, and they were saying, can we expect a Sega Rally port? And they went from saying, well, they're not at this stage, we haven't agreed one, but it seems like it was already greenlit and in development before the arcade version released, which is crazy. And they had less than a year to develop
That's what you call crunch, really, isn't it? That's
it.
just it. But I, as you say, that kind of quote came out where Mizuguchi had said there was no plans. But then how shortly after there was a 20%
It's
complete,
30%.
was it? And they're already starting to show. And it's interesting, they started on Forest first. So they didn't make the tracks in order. And I think it was, you didn't see Lakeside and Mountain until much later. It was a lot later on. But it's interesting that the Mizuguchi and the CES team would decide to take on the task of bringing that game, you know, given the success that it was going to have in the arcades, given the criticisms that like Daytona had, you know, on Saturn already, quite an undertaking to bring that over, and then to do so without any use of the Sega graphics library at all is just insane. And every time you play it, it's like you watch it. It's the funny thing with Sega Rally, see if you pause it, it looks quite crude. Like, see if you just pause it and look at it as a still, it can look, but see whenever it moves, it's poetry, man. Whenever it moves, honestly, it's just everything about it is just It's slick, it's smooth. You can see far plenty into the distance with the way it does that kind of block loading and the textures round, the way the tracks are designed, that you're always loading what's round the corner, so you very, very seldom see any kind of pop in on it. But I just to think that they've just built this arcade machine on the latest hardware, and then they're going, right, let's get it on Saturn. And what a job they did putting it on there.
Yeah, I mean, it was in the right hands, wasn't it?
Oh,
Obviously,
definitely.
Mizuguchi was involved, kind of had oversight of it, but the team that had worked on it had worked on Virtua Racing Deluxe on the Mega
Yep.
Drive 32X, which is an absolutely phenomenal port. It's a sensational game. Probably my favorite way to play it, if I'm honest. Switch version obviously handles a little bit better because it's at 60 frames per second, but yeah, the 32X one's pretty special, especially given the hardware. It only updates at 20 frames per second,
Right.
but it's like a I think I was talking about it on the 32X video, wasn't I? I was saying it's like Daytona, both updated to 30 20 frames per second, but both handle unmistakably to the arcade, unlike the Saturn version of Virtual Racing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's But yeah, so obviously that team, very, very talented, knew what they were doing, so it was in good hands. And yeah, so it was crazy just to see how much feedback and updates that they were getting, or they were giving Sega Saturn fans in Japan, because you had interviews. It seemed like every month you had updates, you had footage being shared, you had interviews. It was insane the amount of content, and as you said, they were eating well.
I mean, you had the VHSs, and obviously they were getting their updates, and it was Mizuguchi with one of the guys on the CS team. But then there was demo discs as well that were coming with a Saturn magazine, and they had like digitized videos with interviews of Mizuguchi on them as well. And it's like, we're sitting here picking through pages looking for screenshots. You know, reading good old, British 90s humor captions, and they're getting to the actual source. Because the video I love is whenever we joked about it on WhatsApp. It's towards the end, and Mizuguchi gets asked what, or is it the guy that's sitting with him that gets asked about, are you adding any extra modes? And one of them goes, "Ah, we've added an extra car, and we've also added time attack." And the host goes, ah, it's like, but just completely blown away by the fact they'd added this extra mode in. You know what I mean? It's like, I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and yeah, so they kept us up to kept Japanese fans up to date with progress while we were kind of picking up the crumbs. But we did get the demo on the bootleg sampler, which was interesting. And that 75% complete build was circulated. There's a picture of that on a CDR in Panda's video. But it's crazy how quickly it went from 30, 40% all the way up to 75. But of course, worth mentioning that demo, mate, because it had the alternative version of the Celica in, which, and yeah, I still haven't got it quite right in my head. I think it was the 185. The Celica that's featured in Sega Rally is the 205 version.
Yeah.
But but for some reason, it's got the 185 rear.
Yeah, it's a kind of weird hybrid. So the original kind of idea for the Saturn version was to have a replica of the arcade model, which is what you see in the bootleg sampler demo, and the 75% complete build, which you can get on Hidden Palace's website and put it on your ODE or burn it to a disc or whatever and play it. But either the plan was to have that model as close to the arcade as possible, and then they switched it out. Something which, the minute I got my retail copy home from BT's in January 1996 and loaded it up, I'm like, that car's different. That car's different. And it's bugged the shit out of me for nearly 3 decades. And then we got the answer. Thanks to Nick. It's basically the 205. It's the correct version for that time. But apparently the irony is that the 205 was banned for
Yeah,
some
it
reason. It
was.
was a cheap car essentially. So,
It's the way it used turbos, I believe.
So there we go. So maybe they'll try and ban it from like a speed run or a community challenge. You can't use that. It's a 205, a cheap car.
It's when you think about it, it would have been nice if we had the choice of the two
Yes,
as an extra car. You know, the 105, the 185 and the 205.
I mean, I've got the Hidden Palace build on the Fenrir, and something there's other little subtle differences on it as well. Obviously, the big kind of mountain range on the Hairpin and Forest is missing, but the greens and the browns as well, the color palette's a little bit lighter, so just little kind of subtle differences. But I think the handling is a little bit looser. Even on quick, it still feels a bit looser than the retail build to my thumbs anyway. It's good to have the two lit on there and just sometimes. But the thing is, ever since I've watched Nick's video and it's been confirmed that it wasn't just some bastardized chop shop job on the Celica, I found peace, mate. I can play it now, no problem. It's like I don't mind it. It used to really annoy me because I was like, what have they done? They've squashed it and they've made it smaller. It's more roundy and it just looks. But I'm fine, mate. I sort of, what is it? You will know peace. So.
And obviously that model would evolve, would continue evolving, wouldn't it? Because by the time we've got to kind of a 90%, 98% complete version. And again, I think the 75% complete one was what, September?
October 4th, I believe, is the build. The 75% build that's on Hidden Palace, the date on it's October 4th.
That's insane because the American launch was just before Black Friday, wasn't it?
Yep.
So they would have got that, done so much work to get it to 98%. And ship it out into the US for Black Friday. But obviously the difference with that Celica model is that there's no red logo on the boot.
Aye, so it's October 3rd, looking at it here. So I've just got it up in Hidden Palace. Yeah, so it's October 3rd, 1995. The date build on it has even got a timestamp of 5:25 a.m. on October 3rd, 75%. And yeah, it's got the, if I can try and get a zoom in on it and put the camera, but it's there.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
There is. So insane progress. And then obviously it launches in the US in time for Black Friday. And it kind of had a staggered launch, didn't it? Even though it was only 2% away, it took another month for it to come out in Japan. And then I'm sure it was like 6 weeks or something after Japan that we finally got it
That was
in Japan.
January, yeah. January. We got it in
It's late
96.
January, I
Yeah,
think.
it was right towards the end, yeah. And by that point they'd added in like the extra replay cameras as well. You had that kind of put in there. They'd also put the mounting onto the hairpin. So everything was kind of tweaked. And it was kind of good as well that the our reason Sega of America wanted it for that kind of holiday period. They were banking on it, but it was good that the Sega of Japan just went, nope, we're just going to let it cook a bit longer. We'll get it the way we want it. And there was the story in Sega Saturn magazine that we get the best version of Rally.
I can see why Sega of America would have wanted it, you know. It's criminal really, because obviously the next section I've got on here is the reception. The reception was so overwhelmingly positive for the game. You know, it was perhaps the best reviewed game on any system, any 32-bit system at that point, because just the sheer overwhelmingly positive response. You know, it's what the it's one of the most reviewed games on the Sega Saturn, and it's all perfect scores, 90%, and that was mirrored by a fantastic commercial performance in Japan and in Europe. But as you said earlier on, mate, it was a slacker in the US, and I guess that's just because rally sport is not popular over there, so they just didn't have the appeal.
just doesn't have the enthusiasm for it that the European and Japanese market did, which is bizarre given how much the US loves its motorsport. You know, we'll
Yeah.
get even look at now, we've got an F1, you know, Grand Prix in America. You know, it's they embrace motorsport over there, but for whatever reason, rally just did not tick all the boxes. But looking on Sega Retro, they've got a score, a total average aggregate of 93 based on 42 reviews. So, you know, can't get much better than that, mate. It's for that year, you know what I mean? It's looking through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all green, mate. There's not any, there's no yellows or reds, and there's just greens. Greens everywhere. Greens.
I mean, anyone that gave it a red, I mean, you got a hand in your gaming credentials there and then, haven't you? I mean, what sort of insanity would that be? I mean, it would if.
Great game, mate. Shame about the port.
It's crazy, really, when you think of how good that game was, and it's not one of these ones where at the time it wasn't recognized. Like so many Saturn games we talk about, and it's kind of like a hidden gem. You know, there's so many times, and it's not like, you know, it's not like with Virtua Fighter where Virtua Fighter just wasn't kind of fashionable. So, Virtua Fighter 2 got a lot of plaudits when that released. And that was, you know, hailed as the greatest fighting game there ever was. And then Tekken 2 kind of stole its limelight for no other reason than it had really CGI intros, cutscenes, flashy attacks. I mean, it's in terms of gameplay, it's an inferior game, and visuals as well, I'd say. But Virtua Fighter just wasn't fashionable. But yeah, it's a crying shame that you had a couple in, and with the big three was just so sensational. They just didn't move the needle, which is, again, it's criminal. When everyone's saying that Sega Rally was a system seller, you know, I think it was at CMVG that said, "This is the game that you bought your Sega Saturn for, and if you haven't got a Sega Saturn, you probably need to buy one."
Yep. The thing is as well, right, people talk about that generation, what is when people started moving from wanting bare bones arcade ports to more content driven story narrative games. But not in early 96.
No.
If you think about when Final Fantasy VII didn't come out until Christmas 96, you had your Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider 2 was 97. Christmas 97 was Final Fantasy 7, because I got Tomb Raider 2
Yeah.
Time Crisis and Final Fantasy 7 for Christmas 97. Metal Gear Solid wasn't until 98.
99 over in Power Regions.
So, you know, if you're thinking about, you know, games that are adding more experience beyond the arcade, at that point, whenever Sega Rally Virtua Fighter 2 and Virtua Cop came out, people
Wasn't the case.
weren't, it wasn't the case. And it's quite revisionist, I think, to say otherwise. It's like people were still in awe of the big arcade games. They still had a glimpse to the future. To still see those games coming home was mind blown. But as you say, mate, those three, like you look at those three games and you're thinking, even for as bad as the reception of Saturn may have been because of that early launch, like surely those three games would have been enough to make anybody sit up and go, right,
Yes,
now we're talking, look at this. But as you said,
they're better than anything on any other next gen platform at that point.
yep.
But yeah, you make a good point, mate. It's yeah, people say that people wanted more than just simple arcade ports. But yeah, if you look at late 95, which was when it came out in Japan and the US, what other games were there? There was Wipeout, which had what? I think it's six or eight tracks, isn't there? There's two tracks per league or two tracks per cup.
There's two classes, isn't there? So I think you get a certain amount of tracks. I think you race the same tracks on each class, but you just one class is faster than the other.
Yeah, it's not a lot either. And then obviously the only other one is Ridge Racer, which is only one track, just one track.
Just until the Ridge Racer was one track. You know, just one track, Ridge Racer, one track. That was probably never nicked that data. I actually screen captured that. Record it on my phone and sent him a DM going, yes. It's like, but it's true.
Yes.
You know, and again, that flies in the face of it because people are going, well, people want more than the bare bones arcade experience, but they're championing a game that's got one track.
It's also got a time attack mode. Ah.
Oh.
But yeah, and then it had the car customization options came with it. It had the extra car, the Lancia Stratos, which we know, and especially the context around the Stratos, you know, as a rally icon, that was a masterstroke as well. You know, there was a lot in there, and you could turn arcade mode to like three laps. You had two player mode, because we did, at that point we hadn't had on any 32-bit system, we hadn't had a split screen two player mode in anything. So again, that was a huge achievement. So it just basically did it all. You know.
Sam put so many hours into that two player mode, by the way. We I mean he never beat me on it, but it was like, but sorry, Sam, I know you listen,
Even as
but
teenagers, James dominated.
we played that a lot, man. We put a lot of time in it, and it was, again, you never complained about the lack of like geometry in the track or detail, and you just accepted you were getting a two player version of Sega Rally in your house. And it ran great. It was such fun. So again, the amount of extras that they added in for the time that they had to make the game is pretty remarkable. But I still think, as Nick covered in the video, that they probably wanted to try and maybe make a couple of like Saturn exclusive tracks, similar to what was done with Daytona CCE. They made bespoke tracks.
Yeah.
But
And Virtual Racing Deluxe as well.
As it stands, it's still an incredible package. It does go beyond the arcade, you know, and the time attack modes, although you get a practice mode in arcade, I think time attack mode, if you do it on free run, that's where I practice, because I think that's where you get your muscle memory for your corners and
Yeah.
your lines. I think if you do it on a time attack on three laps and it kicks you out after it. If you're going for your fastest time over three laps, then fine, but I think the practice mode's okay. You get, was it three laps against the other AI car, which is fine. But for that muscle memory, just stick it on free play and then just, or free run and then just swear at yourself because you fuck up the first corner.
Yeah, I do like the practice mode, but I like it more because you've got the other car on there, and it's still in that mode. It's still very much an arcade game because you still have the timer. You know, you still got the timer. You still got the rival car. Whereas Time Attack, you don't have the timer, so that
The
you
only
don't you're not
timer is yourself, Daniel.
well, you don't you're not constantly hitting restart and everything. You can just go keep going round and round, which is what I did when I was playing Mountain with the manual transmission for the first time the other day. I cocked it up so many times, and in the end, I went round it so many times as well. I posted a time on Jira where I'd gone round it so much, and then yeah, took that into arcade mode. And one thing I just thought of really is, I love how when you complete arcade mode, or when you finish your game in arcade mode and you get the game over, yeah, and it doesn't boot you to the attract mode, it doesn't boot you to the title screen, it dumps you straight back to the arcade selection. It's just
Yes.
a very, very subtle little detail. But it very much is like, if you were in the arcade on at the game on free play, that's what would happen, which is, you know,
Aye.
it's great that he does
It's
that.
a
I
nice
love that
touch.
little thing about it, yeah.
I mean, if whatever you did the game over, yeah, just like that bit in Nick's video, that was not in myself, man, because he shows that like the prototype's got like a different game over, yeah.
Yeah.
And he shows they got, I'd like to request that song, please. Is it the one that goes, game over, yeah? Don't you mean game over, yeah? It's like a cartoon where like this army guy that goes, game over, yeah? It's
Oh,
like,
it's G.I. Joe.
it's like,
Yeah, because there's this the arcade version had a version that was slightly different to the Saturn version. Then the Saturn B, it had one version, then it had a different version after at the end. So,
oh, brilliant, man.
but we've not mentioned the soundtrack, mate. I mean,
Oh, well.
that's a revolution. I mean, I because I came to the Saturn first, I wasn't a fan of the original arcade arrangements, but they've really
Same.
grown on me. I do like it, and it's Takanobu Mitsuyoshi. There was, at the time of recording, there was just a post saying, name me a better performer than Taylor Swift, and someone's quote tweeted with Takanobu Mitsuyoshi singing Daytona, and it's got like 2,000 likes already, and everyone just saying Daytona. So yeah, and obviously the guy's a legend, and it's the arrangements in it are phenomenal, because, and of course, they form the basis for the instrumental, not the fully arranged recorded Sega soundtracks. I didn't know that the album came out before the Sega sound version, and the album's different again because that has the Navigator and the engine sounds and everything. But
And that's the version that's on Radio Sega when you request it.
is it? So it's the Ignition version.
If you request Conditioned Reflex on Radio Sega, you get the Navigator and the crowd noises and with it as well. So sometimes I like to fire a wee request in there and listen to that version of it as well. But aye. But the soundtrack is, I'm the same as you. Like, I didn't play the arcade version until after the Saturn one, so I played it on bootleg sampler first, and then obviously got it in the January 96. But the arcade version I didn't play in booths until a good month or so after that kind of bootleg sampler experience. But aye, the music did hit you straight away, because it's very it's very, basic in comparison to the full band that plays on the sound. But
It reminds me of when we used to make music on my mate's Amiga 500
absolutely.
with our music. I mean, the Amiga can churn out some. Is it Calvin Harris uses his Amiga 1200 to make his first video, didn't he? But the 500, using the cover demo disc that came with an Amiga Power magazine, that wasn't so good. And that was really, flat MIDI sounds.
Yeah, that's kind of what the stock Sega Rally kind of arcade soundtrack is, but it's iconic in its own way, and as you said, mate, it laid the foundations for what they would create the full arranged soundtrack. But the Saturn soundtrack, oh my God, like, I remember putting the bootleg sampler disc into my CD player because I could listen to Ignition, like, through my hi-fi, because just, oh, that track is sensational, honestly. But just the full bass and guitar. See, Conditioned Reflex, like, I'll never get sick of hearing that song. I just, like, Getting Muddy is a close second, but see, Conditioned Reflex is just fucking gravy, honestly.
I'm just laughing just now. I mean, you're saying we never get tired of them. How many times have we actually listened to them in the last 3 decades? It's thousands.
Easily,
Thousands.
especially given how often you hit restart.
But quick question, mate. Put you on the spot. If you had to choose one of the mountain tracks, which one is it? One in arcade mode or the one in practice?
What's that in terms of
What's your favorite version?
favorite track?
Yeah, favorite version, like favorite soundtrack for mountain. Because obviously it's got two. It's got one for
That's right, it's got one for practice and one for the arcade mode.
yeah.
I'd probably say just the Saturn version.
But
Probably just as
the practice version or
the
the
arcade version, aye, the arcade mode version, aye.
All right, yeah. Yeah,
Aye.
because that's a lot heavier. I really like the practice version,
Aye.
which obviously Shiro used
Aye, it's
for
right.
their live show.
Aye, I know. Just the arcade mode version. There's just as a point as it builds up and you're going through the tunnel and then through those kind of little that muddy left hander, then into the right hander to go towards the hairpin, and the music's just kicking up. It's like dee 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 dee
Yes.
dee 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 dee
Just so much more serious and epic when you do it in arcade mode, isn't it?
Aye.
Whereas I think it's a lot more chilled when you do it. It's like a different vibe at both
It's
modes.
a
It's like because if you start off in, you're in ninth place, and then you're trying to hit that 6,500 revs
Right. Oh man, I
Whereas
just
in practice, it's just you and the
it does create, but the music does create a different vibe. You're right, it does. It's like the game's telling you, sorry, mate, you're in practice. It's fine. It's fine, mate. Whereas, like, if you get a jump start on arcade mode, it's like off you go. It does, it creates a different vibe, but it's no, the arcade mode version, especially at that second half, which you're kind of you come out the tunnel through the mud banks, round the hairpin, and then you've got that weaving mountain road through to the finish, and the
Everyone's
music's just
favorite
kicked up.
turns.
Oh man, just so good, mate. Soundtrack's
It
just insane.
is. So the next thing I had for us to talk about, talked about the game and the history, the reception, but impact. And I think this is a really good one, mate, because I don't think there's very f I think there's very few races today that do not owe their legacy to Sega Rally. In fact, when you think about cars that were fully licensed with realistic driving models and realistic driving physics, especially the Sega Saturn version, even though it was an arcade game, it's very much steeped in realism, so much so that they had Fujimoto come in and consult to tighten the handling up. And he was saying that it was, this is a champion rally driver saying that it feels like a simulation. So it was, even though it's an arcade game, it's like a simulation racing game. And one thing that I loved in Panda's video, well, there's thousands of things I loved about that video, but one of them was how he mentioned about how there was the influence on Gran Turismo, and even down to the menu select chime sounding really similar to Sega Rally. And yeah, if there's no Sega Rally, is there a Gran Turismo? Polyphony were making that. Is it Moto Tune, whatever that like cartoon racing game was that they, which is, it's an okay game. Did they have their sights on a simulation racing game at that stage? Because Gran Turismo came out, what, 90, late 97, early 98?
97, 98,
Yeah. And that's where obviously you could probably think that there was some influence of Sega Rally there, because simulation racing games are just, there just wasn't any really, not like realistic ones with realistic handling models, certainly not in 3D. I mean, it wasn't Daytona and Ridge Racer, for example. It wasn't virtual racing, it wasn't that burn rubber or anything like that. It's there was very little like it. I think there was some kind of simulation style Formula One games on like PCs and Amiga, but nothing like Sega Rally. And I think that's what kind of pushed the industry in that direction. Well, would you agree?
Well, the big one, mate, again, it comes back to that similar argument with Ridge Racer that gets so lauded. But for the biggest time, and especially back in the day in high school, V Rally got more respect than Sega
Yeah,
Rally did.
it did.
Now, there wouldn't be a V Rally without Sega Rally. Ironically, and this is a funny story, whenever I'd said to my wife I was getting a Saturn, and also getting my Saturn back, and I'd mentioned Sega Rally, and I went, and I didn't mention it by name, I just went, oh, kind of wait to hear Easy Right Maybe again. And she went, oh, V Rally. And I went, no, Sega Rally. It's
Yeah.
like, so, because she had a PlayStation when she was younger and used to play V Rally. So, I mean, V Rally's a decent enough rally game. I mean, I still think the best rally game for realism on PlayStation was without doubt, Colin McRae Rally 2. I think it was a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
But would there have been any appetite? Was it Codemasters that made the McRae games?
They did, yeah.
Would there have been any appetite for those to be made? Would they have went down the path if it wasn't for seeing the success that the Sega Rally obviously showed how to do it in an arcade form, but V Rally and Colin McRae decided to make it far more. They kind of expanded on the simulation model of Sega Rally, but then took that into the full-blown stage-based rally environment of going, You might play five, six stages on one country, you know, going across a larger route, which obviously Sega didn't want to do because they're rooted in arcade. They wanted to make it a quick hit experience. But would you have had those games if it wasn't for Sega Rally?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you said V Rally was right. I thought it was a massive pile of shit. I was so underwhelmed when someone was like, "Oh yeah, this is meant to be better than Sega Rally," and I played it, and
Oh, it's
I was like,
not.
"Oh my God, this is awful. It's so twitchy." It's like, you know, we've talked many times about how the beauty of Sega Rally's handling. You know, you've talked about how your wheels wiggle because you're tapping on the D-pad to try and steer, and it's like, V Rally goes for that twitchiness, and it's just so bad. I don't know why people were lauding, like, Edge gave it 8 out of 10. I'm just like, what? It's awful. I mean, who even remembers V Rally these days?
Well,
I remember magazines saying it was better than Sega Rally, and no, it wasn't. It was atrocious.
mate,
So I'll die on that hill.
in my Dreamcast Racers video, it was split into two parts, if I remember. And I think V Rally 2 was pretty low. And I basically, and that said that the handling, for being a simulation-based game, the handling betrays the setting of the game. And someone get a wee bit upset in the comments, even left a dislike after leaving the comment, mate. And I thought, okay, calm down, people. But it was like unbelievable, man. Just
Yeah,
annoyed
so
people. But
the second one was a little bit better. I still didn't think it was good, and I feel the first one was terrible. And if that upsets you, I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. But V Rally was 97, so that's 2 years after the original release of Sega Rally on the Saturn. And Colin McRae was 1998, so that took a little longer. But that, you know, Colin McRae, Codemasters, said, you know, we were influenced by Sega Rally to make this, and that is a great series. I mean, Colin McRae 2.0 on the PS1 is a, as you said, mate, I've got that on the shelf there. It's a fantastic game, absolutely
That's brilliant.
fantastic game. Very different to Sega Rally, and not one that I think you'd probably go in and master every track. You know, there's a lot of content in there, but
A hell of a lot.
for what it is, you know, it's kind of a progenitor for the sort of the modern racing game. It's a great racing game. But yeah, V Rally, Colin McRae Rally, and you know, Colin McRae still going. You know, Colin McRae, we get to five,
Thanks so, I.
and
Is
then
that
you had the
morphed into WRC, didn't it? Or is that a different series again
I think
altogether now?
that's a different series, which
Bloody
probably,
hell.
yeah, it's like, I think WRC is on number nine. But yeah, Dirt got up to, I mean, Colin McRae, and then it was Colin McRae Dirt,
That's right. It became Duck Rally. That's right.
and then you've got the is it Dirt Rally? You had Colin McRae Dirt, and now it's Dirt Rally, which is the really in-depth sim one, which is played that on PC, and it's great, but I'm really unforgiven. But that really leans into the simulation. But you know, Sega Rally started all of that, basically. You know, the realistic driving models. And it's just another, you know, you look at any modern arcade racer, and it either owes a debt to Daytona, Virtual Racing, or Sega Rally. And I think Sega Rally may be the one where, especially given today, it's very unlikely that you'll see a racer that doesn't have licensed cars and a realistic handling model. You know, you don't have many arcade style racers. Sega Rally is the one that we've probably filled the DNA in, and yet, mate, it hasn't been replaced.
No, it has not. No, it's 3 decades on. We've had what? I mean, it's probably had Sega Rally 2, we had Sega Rally 3, we had Sega Rally Revo, which was shit. Like, not a fan at all. But in terms of an actual proper sequel, we haven't had one. We know there's one in the works, or one that may be in the works. The obviously Overjump is hoping. I think I've said all along that I think he's looking, hopefully, that Sega will do for him what it did for Christian Whitehead. You know, Christian Whitehead basically rebuilt the Sonic games on mobile and went, "Your emulation is shite, Sega. I've made them from the ground up." And Sega went, "Yeah, it's pretty good, mate. Try to make them official games." So I think that's Overjump's kind of end game, is hoping that Sega take it on and license it and make it an official sequel. But we've got DDI Rally, which is looking great. You've done a great video on the channel on that as well. Rightly got a lot of views on there, so raising awareness of that, because as much as we've got, Overjump coming with DDI, it's as many people can make these homages to Sega Rally if they can. If they can nail the handling, getting the look is easy these days. The technology's there to make these games look ultra realistic, and even if they want to replicate the arcade look, they can. But it's just get the handling right. Because I remember it was an indie Dreamcast game. It was Arcade Racing Legends, right? And visually it was rough, right? And what they tried to do was put like the Hornet, the Crazy Taxi car, just classic cars for Sega racing games. And I put it on, I looked at them, go, the graphics aren't the best, but see if this handles. See if you nail the handling, you would forgive it. But unfortunately, the handling wasn't great either. But that's the thing, you just need to nail. And it's the hardest thing to replicate, is just that the feel. Because like controllers now have got, these amazing super sensitive analog sticks and rumbles and sensors, and you've got elite pads that add pedals here and buttons up there, and you've got all kinds of sensory input on controllers now, but back then you didn't. And the magic of Sega Rally was that it managed to make you feel each track surface on a D-pad. And the car felt like it was on the road, not above the road, not just maybe touching it a wee bit. It felt like it was gripping. You could feel the tread in the tires, gripping the tarmac, gripping the mud. Well, what's the name of it in there? Up in the mud, you hear the dirt getting kicked up. You can hear it coming off the tires and hitting the mud flaps underneath the arch of your wheel. All those little things just added to the whole experience of making the car feel like it was on the track. And if these guys making these remakes or homages or tributes, whatever you want to call them, if they can nail the handling, you're pretty much there.
Yeah, I think part of the challenge is, yeah, they nail the handling. That's a big part of it. But I think what's very understated in or underrated in Sega Rally is the sound design. And I think that plays an enormous part in that feeling. As Nick said in his video, I feel like I can feel the bubble of every single surface, although I'm just holding a digital controller. With no feedback option, no feedback,
Mental.
and that is because of the way it handles, but also because of the way it looks and sounds. There's I don't know how many different levels of kind of debris and dust, and it very much is a mesh effect, but it does change depending what surface you're on. The intensity of it, sometimes the color of it, what the wheels are chucking up differs depending on your surface. The sound of the car differs. It's different if you're ride driving on different surfaces. It's different as you're going through the tunnel. It's kind of insane, that level of detail that you get from that game. And that is why it feels the way it does, I think. Is obviously the handling is 90% of it, but I think that last 10 is just all the audio visual elements, which is funny because Mizuguchi is currently working on some kind of new game or new experience where you can, what was it? You can hear sound, you can feel sound or feel colors or something like that. And that's
Is
almost
it
like,
I feel sounds and hear colors or something to it, I'm pretty sure it
yeah.
is. I just
And yeah, so the fact that you can feel, get these extra sensory feelings from a digital Sega Saturn pad when playing this
it's
game is kind of foreshadowing. Really, but it's extremely special in that respect. And again, it just goes down to, we've talked about the music and the visuals, and it just all comes together in just perfection.
It's just, it's a complete package, mate. And like Davis said, that he plays the game with the music turned down because he listens to the engine and the wheels. He listens to heat because he wants to hear if his car's slipping or losing grip. I'm like, nah, mate, I need to hear the music.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I need to hear that thumping through the speakers. I've got my background music turned up to 7 on the settings. It's just the highest it will go. I need to hear the music.
Yeah, I'm the same. It's got to have it all. But yeah, I think in terms of impact, I mean, even Colin McRae Dirt 2, as good as it is, doesn't have that feeling, you know. And that does support, that's a 2000 game that does support, you know, the DualShock controller and it's analog control, but it doesn't. And I think that's kind of where Sega Rally has that is almost time is timeless, and also probably won't ever be replicated because of that, just that focus on three cars, four tracks, and all those little details. Where if you've got even Sega Rally 2, where it was initially six cars and five tracks, and then obviously the Sega Saturn, Sega Dreamcast version had got 40 tracks, wasn't it?
Different versions and routes on the 10-year championship mode and all that as well, and added loads of new cars.
So you're adding content, and to a degree, it's the same with Gran Turismo, which was obviously the real driving simulator, but it still doesn't give me that. And I do like the first Gran Turismo. I've got a real lot of soft spot and a lot of nostalgia for
I
that
love
game.
the I love the intro.
Yeah.
The logos makes a logo, and then the car screeches and off it goes. A
Yeah,
brilliant
so
intro.
it's a fan. It's an absolutely phenomenal game. So you know, me saying this isn't a dig at Gran Turismo because it is absolutely fantastic. But even that doesn't have that kind of individual attention to detail. Obviously, it's got a lot of cars that are realistically modelled and handled realistically, but it doesn't feel quite as immersive, I suppose, as Sega Rally does in terms of its audio, visual, and handling model that gives you that kind of that feedback.
Well, Gran Turismo lives up to its name. It's the real driving simulator. It's brilliant if you want a real driving simulator. If you want fun, then for Gran Turismo, it's the races in Gran Turismo were good, but it did feel like it was much of a grind. You know, you need to apply for your licenses and pass your tests before you can drive that race, and you start with a shit car and you need to build it up. And the end game was to get a Dodge Viper with a fuck off big spoiler and get racing stripes on it. Everybody did that, right? Everybody wanted a Dodge with the racing stripes, the big giant spoiler. But you know, you had to grind to get there. There was no initial fun element to it. It was very serious. Whereas I think even like I'm not a fan of Rally. I don't watch Rally. I've
Nah,
never
neither do
watched
I.
Rally, but I love Sega Rally. You know, so, and even I think it's quite good that Sega Rally managed to cater to people who wanted the fun arcade experience, and it brought people who love driving games and love arcade racers in. But then it kind of created that other sub-genre in racing games where real rally fans, because of Sega Rally, got games that were tailored to them. They got to enjoy real life based WRC licensed games because Sega Rally showed that, hey, there's an appetite for this setting. Now, we don't have to make it a 3.5 minute arcade game. We can base it on the real thing. So it kind of went both ways, which is, again, testament to how great the game is.
Yeah, it's interesting as well when you think back to some of the developer interviews, and one of the very early ones says, if we're going to do a home version, I think we'll try and include the entire WRC. which kind of speaks to, you know, what later games, not the Sega Rally series, but what later games would become, you know, in V Rally, WRC, Colin McRae, Dirt, etc. So, you know, I think they had an idea of, you know, there was a market out there, because there was obviously the arcade game went down really well. And I think being kind of in this Fujimoto mania that they were in, they probably had a grand design for that. I mean, what do they have, 9 months to develop this port? But Mizuguchi is very keen to say it's not a port.
Well, I said he backed up what we've said on here, and I think Dave and the guys have said it as well. It's not a port. Thank you. You said it actually. I think way back, you said that it's basically the kind of the Sega Rally equivalent of like CCE. It's its own game. You know, Daytona CCE is not a port of Daytona. It's a brand new version of Daytona built from the ground up by the same team. who did Sega Rally. So it's not a port, you know. So I think your comment at that time has been vindicated, mate. You know, it's not a port. It's a whole new game. It looks like Sega Rally in the arcade. It's got the features of Sega Rally in the arcade. It's got more than the features of Sega Rally in the arcade, but it's got better handling, and it's its own game in its own right that was built specifically and tailored to the hardware that it was to run on. Because porting it across, like with what happened with Daytona, is probably why the first Daytona ended up the way that it did. Combination of being rushed and just trying to port over. Whereas we say it earlier, I've went, no, we're just going to build this specifically for the Saturn and take advantage of that hardware, and the rest is history.
And it just goes to show that, you know, it can work both ways. And we both said that we're not fans of CCE. It's not for us. It's not Daytona. And there are people that enjoy CCE, but by the same token, Sega Rally on the Saturn is a different game to Sega Rally in the arcade. But in this instance, I think most people would say that Sega Rally on the Sega Saturn is the superior experience. I've played the PS2 version emulated and not a huge fan of that, even though it's arcade perfect. I probably prefer to play it on Supermodel, even though I think it's probably because you can tweak your sensitivity a bit more in Model 2
The Model
emulator.
2 emulator,
Although you can play both with a wheel, which I need to do at some point. And yeah,
Got to be done, mate. It's got to be done.
it has. You need the force feedback wheel, don't you?
We'll just go
Just
to
rest all
Arcade
day.
Club, mate. We'll just go there again. That's it. We'll just
Just sit on the Sega Rally machine all the
that's
time.
it all day. Just live stream on Twitch or something. Set a phone up.
So as far as its legacy is concerned, I think obviously we've talked about the games that it's influenced, but I think the fandom that sits around it now, and just the, you know, as I was saying, I think I said it on the podcast with Dave and Nick. And I went on a work course recently, and I mentioned Sega Rally, and there was a few people going, "Oh, Sega Rally!" And so I'm going, "What a game that was!" So obviously, you know, this is, as much as the Sega wasn't the mainstream success that the PlayStation was, there's still the fact that Sega Rally is still extremely well thought of by the general public, and that spills over into the fact that people are still playing it today, and you know the. The runs and speed run, you know, the competitions that we have, you know, it lives on, and I don't see it ever going away because nothing's ever gonna replace it.
No, and I think again, what next video has done is again, it's shone a light in on the game in a really positive manner. The comments like on next video are just the outpouring of appreciation and love for the game. You know, you see it in the Shiro Discord as well, in the community challenge server. People picking it up, people logging on, going, oh, is there a Sega Rally challenge? Like excitement. You know, the very mention of the game, like just even seeing it, just gets people pumped up to play it. It's like that's what I says. Like after I watched that video, after watching the next video, I'm like, I need to beat my, I need to get a new fastest time. I need a 316. I need to, you know, get into those 316s, and I managed to finally do it. But it's, I think the next video's on something like almost 40K in terms of views. I think it's like mid-30s or something last time I checked. So it's shining a massive light on the game. It's getting more people picking it up, more people remembering it, whether they play it through emulation, whether they play it on PS2, or whether they pick up a Saturn and play it that way. However they come to it, the fact that they're coming to it still 30 years on is phenomenal. And it's testament to how timeless that gameplay is, because it is. Like, there's nothing like it. It's the most addictive. It's a drug. The game is a goddamn drug. Honestly, it's like you can like hit a wall playing Sega Rally. You can be, I think with Sega Rally as well, it's like there's times when the game will decide, no, you're having a shiter and that's it. Like you'll just basically, it sounds daft, but there's times you can pick up the pad and play Sega Rally and you'll nail every corner, you'll feel great, you'll be in the zone, you know, and oh, this is amazing. There's other times where you'll mistime stuff. Cars will jump in front of you, even though they're on predetermined paths, they'll still fucking jump in front of you. And you'll just go, nah, that's it. But you'll never walk away from it going, that game cheated me. I'm never playing it again. It's a piece of shit. And the thing about Psychedelia is, I don't know if it's just me, but see, after you finish play, see if you play it late at night and you go to your bed, right? See if you've just missed out on a new best time by a wee bit. You replay it in your head. You're lying in your bed going, oh, if I'd only fucking done that bit a bit better. It's just like, it sticks with you. And it's like, these tracks are so memorable. All four of them. Like, everybody's got a favourite turn. Like, Nick was talking about his favourite turn. He called it, it's just butter when you nail it. That first left-hander when you came out the tunnel. My favourite is the double left-hander towards the last two hairpins on Mountain, because you're basically committing to the next corner before it even appears. And so whenever you just get that line and you glide round both corners, oh man, it's just gravy, mate. Honestly, I mean, what's your favourite corner in or turn in Sega Rally?
My favorite turn. It's a difficult one. I do like the final easy right on desert. I also love, and it's a bastard because it's so tricky, but when you nail it, is that when you're going through the town and mountain, and it's obviously not one turn, it's left, 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 right, left. Is it five turns?
Through the town.
Yeah. It's obviously it's five turns, it's not a single turn, but it's a sequence, and it's so, and you have to be
Aye,
so in the zone on that bit.
you can more or less take that in almost a straight line with minimal little kind of taps left
You
and
don't
right.
even have to slow down if you
No,
do it right.
fourth gear full pelt through the whole thing. See if you can nail that, mate. Oh, that's aye, you're right.
Yeah.
Aye, because after that section, you obviously you've got a kind of a right, a bend to the right that you need to kind of really hug the wall, and then as you come round that right bend, that's whenever the two left handers it join up. So you've got to kind of you skim that round to the right, and then you need to flick your car round so your nose is going for the right hand wall to the left hand wall, and you're just gliding it right round, mate. Oh, it's just
Yeah. Yeah,
superb.
because when I got the 321 that I posted, which was my best time that I'd got on a manual, because I don't know what my best time on an automatic was because I've lost all the records. But yeah, and I was like you, mate, because I went around the hairpin and I dropped it down to first, and I only took a minimal knock from Delta, and I was cutting it from the Celica, and I was managed to get it, and I shifted up to third, not into fourth quick enough, and I was thinking, oh, should have shifted up quicker then as they're going around the left, around the bend. But then I nailed going through the town on that one, and I was kind of so in awe of myself because I knew that I was going to beat my time. I completely cocked up the long medium right. I didn't shift down quick enough, and so even though it was a good time, straight afterwards I was sitting there like, oh, if I didn't make those two mistakes.
But that's the thing, right? The time compare is a blessing and a curse, because I hate playing a full run not knowing if I'm on course to go faster. But if I see yellow numbers, I shit myself. It's like, if you, especially if it happens midway through a lap, like, see if you're starting the next kind of stage and you get your more time and all that, and it flashes up where you are. See if I'm getting a 3-2-1 countdown and I see yellow numbers, I can kind of go, right, you've got a chance. But see if you take a bend and it flashes up yellow numbers, like midway through a hairpin, you're going faster. Don't fuck up. It's like, and that's it. It's just it throws you. It's because I think there's a sense of kind of, like, you do feel quite an achievement in going faster at it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's people out there that I say, there was a guy replied on the video I put up in my run, my 316, and his video only shows the TV style camera replay, right? And I says to him, with a wee kind of 10 comment back and forward discussion, I says it would have been amazing if we could have seen, like, you change it to behind the car to see the lines that you took, because, mate, he got a low 315s with no car bumps, with no wall hit on Forrest. And whenever you watch his replay, mate, he is gliding around everything. Doesn't hit a thing and doesn't bump off anything. And the one that gets me in where I think you can make a lot of time up, see where you get the bump off of Blue on Desert,
Yeah.
and you can get the bump off of him and then into Pink and Blue before the over jumps. You don't actually need to. There's a line to get through that that's, again, it's almost straight. And I can't find it. And I've watched some of Sagan Ali Championship or Easy Left Maybe, as he's called on Twitter. He's still been active on Twitter for a while, right enough, but he still uploads videos. And I've watched his videos and I'm trying to find the line that he's got, because he's got videos where he takes the bumps, he's got videos where he doesn't. But there is a line you can take through there where you're almost going straight through with very, very little drifting. And if you can get that's the money maker, that bit. You don't even need the bumps. And you're getting like a low 53 second lap. And I finally got a 53.99 on arcade mode with the Delta. So, but there's people out there that are just skill levels like a way above even this. People like Dave gives me credit for how good I'm at the game and stuff, and I'm good at it, but I'm by no means the best at it. I can talk through each course and tell you how I take the corners and how much I love playing them and what ones are my favourite, but there are some seriously, seriously talented players out there on speedrun and obviously on YouTube as well, just getting ridiculous times. But who knows, mate? I might get a 315 one day,
You
maybe.
will, mate. You will.
Oh.
I think what's amazing about the game is kind of it's competitive and everyone is super competitive, but at the same time, everyone helps each other.
Yeah.
It's one of the most cringeworthy and overused phrases for any game post 2010 is it is the Dark Souls of X. But the thing about Dark Souls and Elden Ring. And I've just played through, I finished off Elden Ring recently. I've not started the DLC, but Elden Ring just isn't a difficult game. That's not what personifies it, but essentially it's a community. You know, there's all these things, you leave notes for people to find, and basically everyone just helps each other solve, unlock, discover things through the game. You know, it's challenging, obviously, but then the community help you, and the community also challenge themselves. You know, you've got people streaming doing setting themselves challenges, or I've done it without leveling up, I've done it without, you know, just with the basic sword. And then you've got the competitive access, which is the people can invade your game and just kill you. But overall, it's a game that has it's easy to get into, but difficult to finish. And just as importantly, it's a game where the community helps them through. And even though it's extremely cringe for me to say, I was just thinking that because of the way that Sega Rally kind of brings the community together. So it's like you've got Sega Rally or Easy Left Maybe is giving you tips. The guy on, you know, you're speaking to on in the comment section is giving you tips. We're sharing our replays together, studying them, giving each other tips, helping each other across. I mean, we've got the Shiro discussion in the competitive Discord. You know, it's competitive, but everyone's giving each other hints and tips how to get through, and everyone's always seeing something different. Like for me, when I used to play Sega Rally back in the 90s, I used to do desert without braking in an automatic, and then I thought it was easier to brake around that first right hand as you go into the dirt and get a good racing line. And then when I moved to manual, I took it in third gear, and then I watched your video and you do it at full pelt. It's this constant community and collaborative voyage of discovery that everyone goes on. See, post Nick Broadway's video, everyone's going to be doing the wall hit on the mountain stage now.
Now,
That's what I mean.
the thing about the wall hit is, you know who I seen the wall? I seen the wall hit easily a year ago, and it was Easy Left Maybe. And I remember I replied on his video and I says, is it really quicker to hit the wall and bounce round? And he replied and said, "Believe it or not, it is." So that's what I thought. Whenever Nick was talking about, is it built up to that bit? And I'm sitting going, I know what's coming. He's going to smack the wall on the hairpin. And there's also, I noticed on, I think it might be in arcade mode, it was footage of Japanese players, but see the first left hairpin on Mountain. So also it's the one where you come face to face with either Sarika or the Delta in arcade mode. If you watch back in Nick's video, I can't remember what point it's at. It shows you a Japanese arcade player. They don't take, I drop down to second and hug that wall and go back up out of third and then back into second to sweep round to the right. Mate, someone wall hits on that. They wall hit and basically go at a 90-degree angle round it. They go right. And I was like, holy fuck, I've tried that. And it's I can't do it.
Hopefully, you
And
can do it in a certain one.
I'm like, I
Because
wonder if you can do it, because it was definitely arcade footage, and I'm like, is no one talking about the second wall hit? Why is no one talking about it? It's there. It's like,
yeah, I saw it. I think I saw as well, like when they're taking that follow on medium right, they get the hit off the delta to push them round.
I feel like Anakin. Is it possible to learn this power?
But one thing that I noticed in my room when I finished watching it for the third time tonight is when we're talking about the record for Arcade Rally, and we've got the footage. There's one where the time's being captured on a thing, and the speed running was like 5 seconds off for the best part of a decade, and then that guy's doing it, and he did desert, and then he did mountain, and he passed the green and yellow car on mountain to get into third before the hairpin. And then it was just like a frame. It was just like a frame. But as he went around that last bend on forest, or sorry, on forest, saw the purple car. It's like,
What?
could you get into, obviously the purple car had already gone past the checkpoint. I was
But it was
thinking
on screen.
it was on screen. I meant to snap a pic
Wow.
of it.
Jeez.
I don't know if it's possible to catch it, because that's like a perfect run, isn't it? And it's still already over the checkpoint before you are, but
He's still there. You can
he's
still
still
see
there.
him. That's crazy. Wow. But aye, as I say, look, wall hit, it was easy left maybe. Sega Rally Championship, as his channel's called. He's mentioned in the video. He showed me wall hit and I was like, okay. Is that faster? Yes, it is. Okay.
You have to do it right, though, because you
You
have to
have
kind of.
to, aye, if you come at the wrong angle on it'll send you almost flying back on yourself into the
Yeah.
rock face. But
Turn around.
oh, turn around. Whoa. Oh, but it's just phenomenal. What a game. And it is, it's like the thing about it, whenever someone sets a faster time than you, right? Like it is that kind of Dark Souls comparison. It is like everyone does help each other. You share your replays, you share tips. Like next on his video, we've done an Editor's Corner with Nick and Dave. We're doing this video. It's like no one wants to go, I'm the best at the game and nobody's going to catch me, you know. Everybody wants to get everybody up to a certain level, which again harks back to that whole thing about Sega games where you can be quite content playing it and having fun with it. But if you learn the depths of it and, you know, learn the little kind of the bits of the track you can cut out, or, you know, go in a straight line here rather than kind of dropping a gear and turning around or doing wall hits and stuff like that, you can really start to dig into it and get stupid times and then get to a level beyond just having fun in an arcade game. It's a whole different level, much like Knights. You play Knights, you can pick up and play Knights and, oh, look, I'm doing tricks with the bumpers and I'm flying around in circles. Mate, I watch you and Dave playing Knights. How the fuck you get those chains, mate? Honestly, up your Knights video, you've got like 130 odd like chain, like link chain. I'm going,
Yeah.
I can get 30.
Yeah,
I'm like, how is he getting that? I can't get to the next thing, the next orb or star or whatever, or gate fast enough to keep it going. And you guys are doing round and round and round, getting stupid numbers. But again, you don't need to do that to enjoy Knights. But if you want to shoot, if you want to hit a level above at knights, then that's the stuff you learn, and that's what all Sega arcade game score attack style games have got. Hidden depth
Yeah,
just keeps you coming
that's the thing.
back.
That's the thing. It's a bottomless well. You know, Knights has it. Outrun has it. Outrun 2 has it. Virtua Fighter 2 has it. You know, all these Sega games have it, and Sega Rally is arguably the epitome of that. You know, that people are still discovering things, and there's never going to be a perfect run. Doesn't exist. And I think even if, you know, if or maybe when Sega Rally's record is broken, Sega Rally or ETF maybe, the person that set that record, if his record is broken, or he'd probably break it himself
Well, mate.
sooner, you know, the specter of those original kind of Japanese times that were submitted still looms, even though obviously there was no burden of proof. It's not like speed running where you need to have your video evidence. They were
Yeah.
just people who say, "Oh, I got this."
Ah,
They might have gone
honest,
around in the
honest.
they might have gone around in the hypercars for all anyone knows.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, while they're still learning, it's going to keep pushing people to play on. And you know, we've been at this for 30 years, and yeah, I suppose we'll stop playing when the arthritis kicks in and we can't play it anymore.
That maybe just get bionic fingers or something installed by the time that comes around, you know. So everybody thought in 1980 odds that we were going to fly in cars in 2024. So, you know, who knows?
2024, we're still flying around hairpins in a rally car.
That's it, mate. Long may it continue. Long may it continue.
Yeah, I mean, what a game. And I think we'll probably have to end it there, mate, because obviously that's a lot of rally content that we've gone through. We've had Nick's video, whichever one. If you haven't seen that, check it out. There's the editor's corner, which again, got myself, you've got James, you've got my Shiro brethren in Pandemonium, Nick Broadway and Sega Saturn Dave on there as we talk Sega Rally. And it's been great just the two of us talking through it as well, mate, giving it our own Sega guys perspective. And yeah, it's a game without equal. We've got the 10 things we love about Sega Rally that you put up as well, and your fastest time that you posted. That video was performing quite well as well. So it's the game that just keeps giving, and I don't think anyone can ever get tired of talking about it, sharing and playing it. I think it's probably fair to say, isn't it? It's never gonna die.
Nah, it's timeless, and it's down to its addictiveness. As we said, you know, you pick up and play it, fantastic, but put the time into it. And it's the excitement as well, as you realize that you've found a new way to take a corner, or you've found a faster way to take that hairpin, you know, and the adrenaline you get whenever you go over that line, and it's a see on Time Attack, and you go over the line and you hear fastest lap. What a feeling. It's honestly, and again, for a 30-year-old game, you know, to kind of conjure up those feelings and emotions, it speaks a lot for it. I mean, obviously I got my Saturn back from Uncle's loft. That was what, 4 years ago in April. And I'd been away from the Saturn since 2008 when I sold everything. So, you know, for what, best part of 12, 13 years, I had no Saturn in my life. But when I got it back, the first game that I went for was Sega Rally. It's the first one I had to get. It's the one that I gravitated towards. It was my favorite game on it back then. It's still my favorite game on it now. It's my favorite game ever. I will never get tired of it. It will infuriate the shit out of me at times, but I'll just keep coming back to it because it is that damn good.
It really is. So, viewers, listeners, we'd love to hear your thoughts on Sega Rally, your favorite corners, your favorite turns, your best times. What's your favorite car? Just get in touch. You can get involved in the comments below. You can get involved via the Sega Guys Discord, or why not join the Sega Saturn Shiro Discord, which currently has the community challenge at the time we're recording. And even if that kind of winds down and the next challenge kicks in, there'll still be plenty of people that'll be excited to see your times and talk Sega Rally with you. And if you want more Sega Rally content, Just give us a shout in the comments below or via social media. And hey, if you enjoyed this, don't forget to like and subscribe and hit the bell for notifications for weekly Sega Guys content. We've got the podcast, we've got retrospectives, we've got homebrew news, we've got pretty much anything that you can shake a stick at as far
Pretty
as Sega
much.
is concerned. And if
Pretty
we haven't
much.
covered it, give us a shout and we probably will. And if you want to be extra mega, why not think about becoming a member with a bunch of extra exclusive and being first to see the content. And it starts as little as 99p. And James, if you'd like to read out the members for the for today's video.
Certainly, our premium members, Sega Saturn Lad. We have G-Man, we have Stiff Peaks, I Am Mikowski, Craig Williamson, we have Resident SD, P-Wall, Tom Fum, Peter007, and of course our brothers at Sega Saturn Shiro.com to give them their full name. But you can check out all the good stuff on there as well. And don't forget to check out Nick's Sega Alley video. You can find him on Pandemonium Game Reviews, every US Sega Saturn game. It's like the longest video or longest channel title ever. It's like it does exactly what it says on the tin, but and these videos are just getting more and more elaborate. But yeah, a massive thank you to all of our supporters, subscribers, members, for your support. And if a monthly membership's not your thing, no problem at all. Just being here, watching the pod, watching the videos, engaging in the Discord, getting involved in the comments. Watching, wherever the shows go out as premieres and getting involved in the live chat, all that kind of stuff all counts towards supporting us. So if that's what you guys do, we appreciate it very much. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. So anyone that has made it to the end of the video, thank you so much for sticking with us. And until next time, we will see you on the Sega side.
Sega.
Game over, yeah!